Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. On today's program, we'll discuss the latest tech news, plus Rapid City law enforcement logged over 100 calls yesterday related to the IRS scam. We'll talk about that and another prevalent scam affecting South Dakotans. Also, we'll welcome Seattle-based Adam Hahn to today's show. Adam is in town for Startup Weekend, and we'll have questions for him, plus your calls, texts, and emails, and Facebook posts. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions via email to midday@sdpb.org or send a tweet to @sdpb. Join the discussion on our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio or call now, 800-524-3604. You can email your suggestions or questions to our guests today, Joel Brovelite and John T. Meyer. That email address again is midday@sdpb.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you after this news from SDPB Radio. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer questions you may have. In the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls, Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite will be here. We also have Lemonly's John T. Meyer. And a special guest today, Adam Hahn, is here from Seattle, and he is here to talk about Startup Weekend, which begins tonight. Let me turn your mic up so we can hear you.
Well, this is John, but my friend Adam is here. We're excited to have him here all the way from Seattle. He is a member, an employee, and an organizer of Sioux Falls, or of Startup Weekend. He's coming to do our Sioux Falls Startup Weekend, so I'm going to let him tell a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, Adam, tell us what's going on this weekend.
Sure thing, guys. Thanks for having me, first of all. And yeah, for those who aren't overly familiar, Startup Weekend is this weekend-long event that has kind of become a global phenomenon that started in Boulder, Colorado, where people with all different kinds of backgrounds, with it doesn't matter if they're a mobile developer, a business developer, a dentist, a server somewhere at a restaurant, like anyone with different backgrounds, they all come together during the course of this three-day event over the weekend, and they pitch ideas. So everyone has kind of 60 seconds to jump on stage, pitch their idea, tell the audience what their idea is. After that's over, everyone votes on what the ideas are, they vote on their favorite ideas, what they want to work on, form teams around each of those ideas that are selected, and they have all weekend to work on those ideas to actually do what they can to turn it into a real startup by the course of the weekend, by the end of the weekend.
Okay. Is there still time to get in on this, or it starts at 6 tonight, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know we've talked about it on the show a couple episodes ago, but yeah, you still can show up. You could technically buy a ticket at the door. We'd still welcome you. So we start at 6 o'clock tonight. Like Adam said, pitches happen. And what's so cool is by Sunday night, sometimes people leave with literally new jobs, new careers, new companies. I mean, this is our third year of doing it here in Sioux Falls. We haven't had that happen yet, but you have seen and witnessed. I mean, there are some big tech companies that came out of Startup Weekend.
Yeah, there's been a handful of those. Again, going back to 2010, 2011, I think the largest company is out of actually Brazil, a company called Easy Taxi. And they've raised over $100 million in capital. But there's also been companies who are from, you know, this area like Zapier, which is born out of Columbia, Missouri. And, you know, Zarly is a really big one that was born out of Los Angeles and it moved to Kansas City. So overall, about 15% of the teams that are formed at Startup Weekend continue on to become something legitimate.
Is it really 15%? That's pretty high.
Yeah, for the amount of events and programs that we've had, which has been roughly 3,500 throughout the world.
And that's got to really help, you know, for an entrepreneur. It seems like it's a pretty low number that would actually get their company going. This has got to help increase the odds.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the real purpose of it is just to get people a really quick look into what the world is like of pursuing some sort of entrepreneurial, endeavor. And with this program, it gives people access to others in their local community. I mean, you have no idea what kind of synergy you can create with another person. So you just kind of bring all these people into one room and serendipity happens based off this randomness on a Friday night. And we give them access to mentors over the course of the weekend. That's what John and the local organizers are responsible for doing, is bringing in the right mentors in the community. And then on Sunday night, they're going to do their final presentations in front of a panel of judges. And, you know, those judges might be able to help them out with connections and resources of their own, too.
Is this anything, or is this just tech? Or
Anything goes. Yeah, I would say just because it's crammed into the course of a weekend, and it's easier to build a web product as opposed to a physical product, but we don't limit it to that. Anyone who wants to...
Sorry to interrupt you. I know there's a couple tonight coming that told me they have an idea for like a catering company. And so they're going to pitch their catering company idea. And really, as long as you can kind of recruit someone to join your team, that's kind of the only rule, right? No, like, yeah. One-man teams.
Right. I mean, and because that defeats the purpose of the event, right? I mean, we want to have lots of people who maybe they know each other, maybe they don't. But that's really the magic of it, is when you just get people to collaborate over the course of the weekend. And, yeah, when I did an event in Minnesota, I think 2 years ago, and one of the people who presented their final product that weekend, he had a water pitcher that was shaped in the design of like the state outline of Minnesota. And so, I mean, it can be anything. As long as you have a product or a service and you believe that you can scale it and grow it into a larger company, then this is the right fit for you.
Yeah, I got something in the back of my head and I've been kind of thinking about, but
you're going to be one of those last minute arrivals.
I think the beauty is that you don't have to, you know, I think a lot of people think, oh, if I have to be an entrepreneur to do this well, I got to quit my job. And that's scary. You know, I got a mortgage, I got a family, I got bills to pay. This is like, let's just break it down into a weekend, give it a taste, right, and just see how it feels, and then maybe you'll go from there if it works out. But you kind of get a quick little sprint in what building a company could be like, and you're exactly right, Kent. Like, it's accelerated by having these people there to help you.
So a person thinks of an entrepreneur. Is that a person that's basically jobless looking to start something, or is it somebody that's got a career? They start up a side gig and they get it going and then it takes off. Or is it both?
Both.
It's both. It's all the above. It's a mindset. Anyone can be one. It's just how bad you really want to do it. And, you know, I mean, to John's point, if you have a day job, then, you know, how much of your time outside of your day job are you going to dedicate to building this thing? If you don't have a day job, then you have a ton of time, but are you going to actually be optimizing the time you have to kind of build this thing and move it in the right direction? My goal with these events, I've facilitated about 15 of these. I've organized about, you know, maybe half a dozen, and I oversee a lot all throughout the U.S.
How many cities have you got to go? You've gone all over the world for this.
I'm not sure about that one. Probably, yeah. I've been to at least 20 different cities in the past 2 years, maybe 8 or 9 different countries. It's like I said earlier, it has become this global phenomenon that's kind of grown everywhere. But, you know, my goal with these events is really just to have people have a really good time, help people have a lot of fun, and learn something new. Maybe they leave the weekend having a new skill that they never had before, and that might ultimately lead into a career kind of pivot or a different career trajectory for them, and that's really what we want to accomplish over the weekend.
Adam, you're a regional coordinator for Is It Up? Is that the...
It was Up, correct, okay. Kent. We are now part of the Techstars family. So Up Global was acquired by Techstars a few months ago, and we are now part of Techstars, yeah.
Techstars is a... accelerator program for startups. There's also a venture fund.
And yeah.
Now this is kind of the community grassroots kind of piece of the Techstars family.
Yeah. So we have multiple startup programs. Startup Weekend, hands down, being our most prevalent, being held in 135 different countries. And it's really the place where people who think, or maybe they don't even know that they want to pursue entrepreneurship, it's a great place for them to get their start. So we have multiple startup programs. And then if you create a company at one of these startup programs and you're growing into something a little bit bigger, then maybe the accelerator program, which is the second kind of portion of Techstars, is right to help you grow your company from 4 employees to 10, or maybe raise a little bit of seed funding, a little bit of money to help you grow your company. And then if you get to the third stage and you're really ready to scale, then the venture fund is kind of a seed series A kind of fund that, you know, gives companies a couple $100,000, a couple $1 million to really help them grow their company from 15 to 40, 50, 100 people.
So this is really kind of a cradle to the grave kind of a thing. Yeah, it could be. It could be.
I haven't heard that one yet.
So Adam, welcome to SDPB Radio. It's great having you here. I want to let folks know that you can ask Adam questions. Give us a call, 800-524-3604. If you have a question about Startup Weekend or about entrepreneurship or getting your idea going, we'd love to hear it. You can send an email, midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, midday at sdpb.org is the email address, and at SDPB, the Twitter handle. If you prefer to do that.
And one thing I should say, you know, if you're listening today on a Friday and you said, oh, shoot, you know, I can't, I got plans tomorrow on Saturday, I can't give up my weekend. if you're free Sunday night, we do make that event, the demos, the pitches, open to the public. So 5 o'clock at the Raven Training Facility. It's 205 East 6th Street. So it's kind of right across from the big Raven campus downtown.
Okay.
And Adam will be facilitating. We'll have a panel of 5 judges. And then these startups, whatever we learn about tonight, will be making kind of their Shark Tank like pitches.
I was going to say, is that the part you've kind of described as the Shark Tank event?
More or less. No one walks away with money. I mean, I guess they could kind of behind the scenes, but
none of that coordinating is coming from us.
But we do choose a winner. They do choose a winner, and there is a prize package. Things like free consultation from a lawyer, from a CPA. They get a membership out at the South Dakota Technology and Business Center to have an office space for 3 months. It's the type of prizes that hopefully get them to take it from this weekend to real life.
And I want to put Ken on the spot, and maybe one of those prizes can be the opportunity to speak with him on this show. I think that would be a really awesome appeal.
We'd love to have him in as a guest.
Actually
introduce them to one of the fine news reporting staff here at SDPB, and no promises. But
I'm still waiting for we've pitched a lot of the media outlets the 3 years we've done this. I think it would be an awesome story, probably too late this year, but for someone to come tonight, just pick a team at random and just kind of follow them throughout the weekend. Because one thing that Startup Weekend really pushes them on Saturday is to go out and do what's called like market validation, right? Go hit the streets and see if someone would actually pay for your idea. So they're going up and down Phillips Avenue and, you know, depending on their idea, creating online surveys saying, would you pay for this? What does this help you make your life better? So I think it'd be interesting to just follow the emotions and kind of the lessons learned over a weekend.
That sounds great. Will you be live tweeting this weekend?
I'll send out some tweets. Yeah, you can find Startup Weekend information on Facebook and Twitter. But yeah.
Fantastic. So if you want to be involved tonight at 5 down at Raven again?
We'll start at 6 at the same place at the Raven Training Facility. Sunday night at 5 is the demos if you want to come watch.
It's the Shark Tank event. Let's just call it that.
Yeah, go ahead.
For ease of use for our listeners.
And for those who want to follow along online, John, what's the hashtag that we're using for this weekend event?
I think we use Sioux Falls SW for Startup Weekend.
There we go.
So,
great. Fantastic. Well, Adam, if you want to stand by for questions, you're welcome to do that. And
we'll get Joel back in here,
Joel's locked,
out of the studio.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get Joel Brovelite on the air. We'll be able to talk some Mac things this afternoon, and we've also got some scams to talk about and a few other little things up our sleeve yet on today's show. I'll be right back after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio on Dakota Midday from SDPB Radio. We have Joel Brovelite joining us now.
Whoa.
Good day, Joel.
Hot mic.
That's the way it goes, you know, sometimes.
Absolutely. Adam Hahn continues to join us, and he'll be here if you have questions for him. Give us a call, 800-524-3604, the number, at SDPB is the Twitter handle, and midday@sdpb.org is the email address.
Quick question, Joel. Have you seen the Jobs movie yet?
I have.
What'd you think?
I really liked it. We could do the longer version, but the short version is, as I told my wife, we both went to it. Didn't go at the same place. She was actually at a convention, but we went at the same time, which is kind of interesting because she's like, you can't go without me.
In two different cities at the same
exactly.
time.
It was pretty interesting. But I said, you know, the interesting thing about it is you couldn't really cover his life in one movie. And in fact, the book that Walter Isaacson did probably doesn't really cover all of it.
Sure.
So it was smart that they did it in kind of 3 sections. They just took out 3, you know,
big
hour
moments.
Periods and then, you know, pinpoint throwbacks throughout that. So I thought it was really well. I mean, you know, he doesn't look like Steve Jobs at all. He doesn't sound like Steve Jobs. I don't think was near as charismatic as Steve Jobs, but he kind of got that essence, that intensity. So,
and a better actor, certainly, than probably Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah,
last time.
That's true, although I will say I thought Ashton had more of his mannerisms and looked more like him. So
sure.
I won't disparage that other movie, because I thought that one was pretty good. But this one was a better movie about him because it wasn't really about him. It was just about these 3 sections. So I definitely recommend it.
I thought we'd be talking about Star Wars trailers at this point. But
well, I
we
wanted
to do
know
that, too.
Because I haven't seen it yet, and I've heard extreme spectrums. Like, it's not doing very well in the box
office.
Nothing, it's
kind of
getting creamed.
Nothing in October did very well, so I don't think that's quite fair.
But at the same time,
it's kind of a heavy movie too.
Like my dad was kind of like, eh, but my brother thought it was great. So
yeah. Hey, we have a caller on the line from Rapid City. Scott joins us. He's got a question for Adam today. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people, we sit around and see a need or see a product that we could provide. But I always think, well, somebody else has already invented that. How would I find, you know, if I had an idea, where would I go to find information to see if somebody had already patented it or already was selling it?
Great question, Scott. Thank you so much for the call, Adam.
Yeah, so I think my gut reaction to that is, I mean, I feel like Startup Weekend is the perfect place to do that. If you find out that the idea that you have in mind of something you want to create is taken, you know, lots of things that we see in the startup world is that companies pivot a little bit, or, you know, no major business that is to where it is today is there based off of the original idea. All of them change a little bit, even like the smallest nuances. So I feel like this is a really good place where, kind of going back to the schedule of the weekend, you know, Friday night and Saturday morning is when a lot of research is going to be taking place. So that's when you find out what other people are doing this, what other companies are doing this, has this idea already been executed or built before? Maybe it's been tried before and it's failed. Why did it fail? You know, you do see a lot of that. And then you also see lots of competitors. Maybe there's something that somebody or some company's doing this idea already, but maybe they're not doing it as well as you think that you could, or maybe you would execute it in a different way and add your own flavor to it of some sort that would.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, if you haven't heard of it, then they're maybe not doing well enough. I mean, certainly before you start pouring in a bunch of money and investment and making modeling or prototypes, like do some research. But you could argue that if you haven't seen anything in your research, maybe you could do it better.
That's a good point. Scott would have to get in his car and drive here from Rapid City. Probably wouldn't make tonight. But
Adam doesn't know the geography of the state.
Well, yeah, so is there a website that you guys would use in the next couple of days to do some research, or is it easy to research patents? I guess I don't know.
I'm trying to think of the .gov site because there's a search box where you can go look up both patents and trademarks, and now I don't know. Let me think about it.
We can link that up on Facebook. Yeah, we can link that up on the Facebook.
And also, you know, from being Rapid, that's out on the west side. Yeah, you've been there, I guess. Last time you came through.
I know a little bit more geography than you might expect
me
to.
Yeah, but Denver would be a Startup Weekend location.
Yeah, close enough.
Oh,
right, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a handful of cities all throughout the area that have done them. There's going to be five the weekend of November 20th all throughout the state of Iowa. Five different cities in Iowa are all hosting Startup Weekends on November 20th. So they do happen. They're pretty frequently.
Great. So Scott, be looking for
a
Startup Weekend
start
near you.
You know, that's the cool thing too. I knew Adam through a conference or through some mutual friends, and I was like, hey, we want to bring Startup Weekend to Sioux Falls. And so I worked with him. And so all it takes to bring it to your city is just a desire.
Yep, exactly.
Great. Speaking of Rapid City, that's a great transition into the next segment of the show. This morning, the Sheriff's Office in Rapid City and the Rapid City Police Department put out a joint news release warning of a scam that's being targeted to that localized area out there in the hills, whereas the person perpetrates to be from or purports to be from the IRS and calls and with a very concerned call and says that there's unpaid taxes that are due, and they identify themselves as agents of the Internal Revenue Service. They're told they're going to be sued for unpaid taxes and they'll be arrested if they fail to give them a credit card number. And I've seen a few really neat YouTube commercials that address this specifically from the AARP, and they're hilarious. I don't know if you've seen those or not, but I'll have to put those up. But what's not funny is that people really are concerned that they're in trouble. And that's the number one thing that scammers and con artists use, is getting people emotionally involved in something. And either they're mad because, you know, I can't believe I owe this money, or, you know, they're mad for some other reason. But if you can trigger somebody emotionally, chances are you're going to get them to do something. And that could be a very bad thing in this case. Yeah. We really don't want people even engaging with these folks, because the point is the IRS will never call you. They will never call you on the phone. And I actually this very morning released a blog post on the Facebook site, facebook.com/techradio, that talks specifically about another scam that where people report that they're from Microsoft. They're the Microsoft R&D team, or they're the help desk, or there's a whole litany of departments that they claim they're from Microsoft, and your computer's running slowly. And of course, most people's computers are running slowly.
And your car has doors.
Yeah, exactly. So you're like, oh, of course, my computer is running slowly. And they'll say, well, we've just really noticed that you're just jam-packed with viruses and malware. And they'll use a bunch of technical words, and they'll make you believe that your computer is at risk, and they are there to help you. And so they walk you through the steps, and I've seen this done too. There's some YouTube videos out there where people record this entire process, and it's fascinating. But they'll walk you through the process of going out to a website, and there are a number of these, and they started up to help people. They're, provide remote access to your computer. So when my mom needed help, I could log into her computer from across the state and help her. Well, in the same fashion, the scammers get control of the person's computer, and then it's kind of off to the races from there. They take you to a website, a PayPal site. They have you sign into PayPal if you've got a PayPal account, which I was just thinking to myself, I can automatically do that for my computer. My computer fills in all that password information for me, so the scammer on my computer wouldn't even have to have me do anything.
Yeah.
They could just go log into PayPal, pay for this program, which is $299 US for a lifetime, subscription to this protection. And that's really the point where things can go wrong. If the people don't want to pay that money, the hackers or the scammers can start deleting things off the hard drive. I've seen the actual videos of people just going into their documents and start deleting things, and then they uninstall the Ethernet drivers for the computer, so the computer can't talk to the internet anymore, and then they're off and running. But it's a bad deal, and the point is if somebody calls you and says we're from the IRS or we're from Microsoft, just hang up. Simply hang up.
Yeah, the moral of the story is be wary of unusual phone calls, which is kind of, again, standard, right?
Best practice. That would be about, virtually anything, whether it's computer related or not. If you get a phone call and they're calling you and it's from a company, best off to just hang up and look their number up and call them back if you're really worried about it.
No, don't call them back.
No.
That's the knock and
run
scam.
No. If Microsoft calls you.
Oh, yeah.
Hang up, look up Microsoft's number. Don't redial the number they have called you on.
Yes.
Look up Microsoft's number if you really think something's up. Yeah. Then you
say,
can call them. That is safer.
Up.
No.
So here's the other scam is called the knock and run, which is they'll call and then hang up. And you get the number and you say, I wonder who that was. And you call them back.
Yeah, I just wonder who's calling these phone numbers back.
Please do not call them back.
It's 2015, people, do not call random numbers
on your
phone.
But we're South Dakotans, and
I hardly answer numbers that I don't know.
I only if they leave a voicemail and I recognize that voice and name, then I call back.
So what happens if you call back is if you actually do end up talking to a live person, they will keep you on the line as long as they can. They're racking up.
Yes, this is in the scenario that you call them back on some random number, not the official number that you looked up in the phone book.
Right.
That's
right.
What I'm talking
about. If you were to just use your caller ID number, if there
Don't
even was
that.
One there, that would be that
Stop
would be a bad thing.
Stop talking about it before people get the idea. Yeah. Don't do that.
No, we just want them not to call that number back. It's like I said, it's called knock and run.
Just throw away your phone. That's what we want to say.
Just don't communicate with anyone, please.
No. Just text, please.
The Rapid City Police Department and the Sheriff's Office would like you to know that you probably do not owe money to the IRS, and that you probably just shouldn't talk to these people at all. They're logging a lot of calls, and I can't imagine. Usually people will either call their AARP has a fraud watch network that most people know about. They'll call there. AARP likes you to do that because then they can kind of track these scams, and they can keep on top of them, and they can let their members know that this stuff is going on.
Sure.
And then, of course, I talked to the Attorney General's office this week, too. They have a consumer affairs division that tracks this and logs this kind of thing, too. So I would assume that there's communication going on there. And it's the time of year. There's all kinds of scams. Holiday shopping scams is one of them. You'll see an ad, a Google ad or something will pop up, and there's you know, I don't know, Justin boots for $25, and you're going, Justin boots for $25.
Sure.
I'm getting a pair of these for everybody. And you go off to the shopping site, you put your money, you put your credit card number in, and you know, yep. Of course, there are no Justin boots for $25. You know, you got to really watch the links of where you're going nowadays and really do some research and use the reputable places that you're probably used to using. There is no free lunch.
There's a startup weekend idea for the weekend, John. Someone building some sort of scam blocker
of
some sort. We would love to see that be created this weekend.
It's done. Just the scissors, cut the line to the wall in your house, you're good. Done.
So, no technical skills required.
That's right.
Anyway, well, if you'd like to read my great prose on this Microsoft scam and the IRS scam, it's on a blog post, and that blog post is posted on our Facebook site, facebook.com/techradio.
Good on Rapid City PD to you know, recognize that this is happening and put out a notice.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure they just have a list of numbers, and they kind of target it. You know, they go through numbers down a geographic area because all the Rapid phones they're calling or something
like
that.
Yeah, so they robo-dial these things, and if you pick up, then you're connected with a live person. There isn't anybody dialing these numbers. It's a computer, and the computer goes through, and finally when it gets a line that's opened up, it routes it into a person sitting at a computer, probably playing solitaire, and you kind of startle them and wake them up, and then they're into their pitch, and away they go. But they're out there looking for live people. They will come back, and if they log that you've picked up, they'll come back and call you if they're not making the connection right away. If all operators are busy at this time, they will call you back, and they will be very persistent. And that's the thing about this Microsoft scam, is these people are very aggressive. If you even give them an inch, they are very aggressive and very persistent, and it's really hard to get them off. You can't get them off the phone. You just have to hang up.
Yep.
And the point is don't engage them to begin with. Anyway, like I said, facebook.com/techradio is the place where you can see that link. I also put a link up for Joel yesterday, too. NPR had a story about the Internet of Things, and they were talking about light bulbs.
I actually emailed Robert, because I think he totally missed the boat on what Wi-Fi in your light bulbs can do for you. But I haven't heard back from him yet. So.
You're a Hue user, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
50 bulbs.
50?
50 now.
I have 4.
I just got 3 more. You know, when you get...
I don't even know if I have 50 light bulbs in my house.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I was surprised.
That's an investment, man.
That's only my upper level.
That's an investment.
It is, but I've done it over like 3 or 4 years.
I was like, Wi-Fi light bulbs.
I was thinking
30
because they're supposed to last 15 years, and I haven't had one go out yet, and I've had them for since the first day of availability
for my wife, for Paige, because they have a little bit of a buzz if they're up, like a little bit of a ring if you have them full blast. In our house, they do.
Yeah,
so
that's,
I got the
that's
little
a grounding issue in
the
your
little
house,
switch.
Actually.
So you can choose your kind of 4 favorite settings, and you stick that to the wall, and then mm-hmm. she can tap.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I have 2 or 3 of those.
So what we're talking about, talking about the Hue system is it's a, when we talk about the Internet of Things, we're talking about a series of light bulbs that are connected to each other and to you through an interface on your phone or your laptop.
And that was one of the things that I had issue with on that story. He said that the light bulbs have Wi-Fi, and there are light bulbs that have Wi-Fi. These light bulbs actually do not. They communicate wirelessly with a little Philips base station, a little puck that you plug into the wall, and that communicates with your Wi-Fi.
Yep.
That's really not important to how they work, just that it maybe makes them slightly more secure. Like, each one can't be directly hacked into or couldn't be like a spam bot of its own, whether that's a concern or not. That's just the way.
So explain
the
perks of how you use them. You time yours to turn on in the morning, turn off at night.
Absolutely. And that, I think, is, you know, when you tell somebody, yeah, I can turn my lights on with my phone, that sounds really great if you're 18, but it's not really awesome if you're a regular adult and you just use the lights to see and stuff, and you don't have like multicolored parties and stuff. Although on Halloween, it kicks butt to have.
You could have a really cool
50 lights in your house.
I had just gotten the Hue a couple years ago. I think when it was the Ravens and the 49ers Super Bowl.
Oh yeah,
and
for
so
sure.
Hue allows you to upload an image. So like you could literally, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but you could take a picture of on your vacation on the beach and then upload that image, and they will generate a color palette that makes you feel like you're back at the beach. You know, hard to do in January in South Dakota, but
for sure.
So I had the two Ravens, I had the Ravens logo and the 49ers logo. And so at the Super Bowl party, whoever was winning at the time or leading, we would switch the lights. Yeah.
There's probably an app that does that.
Oh, I'm sure.
The real advantage I think comes in the fact that you can moderate the lights in your house, kind of automatically. The best part of the lights in my house is they come on at 6:15 when I get up in the morning, and just the lights that I need come on automatically. I don't do anything. It's just set up that way. So they come on. I don't set an alarm on my phone or anything. I just get up because the lights come on. 15 minutes later, the lights in my daughter's room start to turn on. So she knows it doesn't necessarily wake her up, but I don't have to turn the lights on. Not that that's a big deal, but I also don't have to turn them off at 8 o'clock when she leaves. The lights come then go off 5 minutes later for me because my wife sleeps about half an hour later than I do. And then they come back on in an hour or in a half an hour to wake her up. At 8 o'clock, they all go down except for the office where I use them. At 8:30 at night, they blink, tell my daughter that it's time to get ready for bed. At 7:42 in the morning, they turn red. And then 7:43, they turn white. 7:44, they turn red, telling my wife and daughter that they need to be out the door, otherwise they're not going to make school on time.
It's like a Pavlov experiment.
See, it sounds ridiculous, but
he can just disappear.
You don't have to.
They know exactly what to do.
You've done this. Yeah. What time is it? Are you ready? Are you going to be late? You don't have to do any of that because it just automatically does it. My daughter knows that that's what time it's ready to get out the door.
And
Dad,
I think the other perk is the remote factor. So, like, sure. Maybe you're on vacation and you know you want to make it look like you're home. You could turn them on for a while. Maybe you go on vacation, you left your lights on.
Or one of the other nice things I like, it's geofenced, meaning that it knows that I get close to my house. So as I pull up to the front of my house, the lights all turn on.
Sure.
So I don't have to turn, I don't have to go, you know, find the light switch. I don't have to go if it's really dark, one of those middle of the winter nights where it's super dark. They just turn on.
And
they turn off when I leave.
I mean, the connected things are going so much further than your lights. So Adam and I were talking. He uses Airbnb. He lives in Seattle in a very highly tourist targeted area where people want to go. And some people were talking about like the smart locks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that would be the same thing if you had a smart lock.
So you could give someone access to your apartment for a designated time when they're maybe being a guest in Airbnb.
Or they can call you and you can unlock it right there.
Yeah, you do it remote from your phone, just touch the button, even if you're in a completely different city. Yeah,
or if you're walking up to your house and you have it set up, it will just unlock when you get there.
Yeah,
It'll be like a Tesla.
I think, you know, and to the point of the story, getting back to the story a little bit, I think they had an editor on from Ars Technica.
Yeah, which sounded like somebody that did not have connected light bulbs in their house way he was talking.
And they were just and
unlike you.
What he was saying was his readers don't want them. They fear a situation where people are not using the light bulbs like we all want them
right.
to be used.
Yeah, they could be hacked.
They could be hacked. Like they've seen medical devices that run Windows ME. You know, like an IV push pull, you know, that you see in hospitals are running on an operating system, and they've actually seen where those get hacked and get turned into an email spamming, you know, thing.
Yeah,
and so what they're saying is they don't want their light bulbs to become, you know,
sure.
They're taking it to an extreme. They are obviously
it
to an
extreme. Yeah, I mean, well, they're taking it to a possible thing that could happen, you know, much in the same way as if you go in to have a tooth pulled, you know, you can get an infection and die.
Dry
I mean,
socket.
That's not... That's not going to happen most of the time, but it is possible.
Right. So so if they would just build some security into this Internet of Things,
and of course
it would make everybody feel better.
They absolutely do. This is something that every company that makes any connected device is probably number one on their list. That doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that are figuring out how to break it or crack it or take advantage of it or make money from it.
The interesting one is cars because they, you know, even if it's Internet of Things or not, cars nowadays have a ton of computing inside them.
And they're never not going to.
Exactly. And so that's an interesting one, too, is because a light bulb can do a little less damage than, say, a car moving at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a horrible thing. Well, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, third half of the show, we want to talk about Amazon opened up their first brick and mortar, which is kind of interesting. Blizzard, did you see they paid $5.9 billion for Candy Crush? That was kind of interesting. We want to talk about that. We have a little bit of Apple news, and then you've got a local story about a cab situation that could possibly be going on in Sioux Falls. But we'll get to that right after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio on this Dakota Midday. That's a great Friday out there, and we're happy to spend it with you. We've got the experts here today to talk tech. Joel Brovelite is here, is our local Mac guru. And we're probably
I don't have to be local. I could be your Mac guru and from anywhere.
From anywhere. John T. Meyer joins us from Lemonly, the wonderful maker of infographics and other things.
You bet.
And joining us today, a friend of John's, Adam Hahn from Seattle, is here for Startup Weekend, which begins this evening at 6 p.m. and continues throughout the weekend.
Yeah, one thing I forgot, in your ticket is included 7 meals throughout the weekend. So we have great food from Sioux Falls, some local vendors coming down. And so we feed you, we give you a place to work, good fast internet. And
all the coffee you need.
All the coffee, yeah, that's important too. Last year, coffee was a little late on Saturday morning. You would have thought that hell had frozen over.
Did that cause a business to get started about Instacoffee or something? Yeah.
So, exactly.
Our next program, if you want to write it down, November 20th, we'll be back. I imagine it'll be some Black Friday talk then, and what deals are probably going to be launched by then. But we'll continue our scam series as well, leading us into Christmas, because we got to let people know about some of these scams.
If I'm not here, then that means I became a father. So Paige is due November 25th. So it'll be close.
Congratulations. Yeah, you give and take a week is what they usually say. So we'll first see. One?
First one?
No, yeah, give or take a week. We'll know when you're not here, and we'll be celebrating on the air for you that day. November 20th, Dakota Midday Tech Radio. You can talk to us today. Our phone number, 1-800-524-3604, 1-800-524-3604. The Twitter handle, at SDPB, and, of course, the Facebook page, which we would love you to go to at this moment, facebook.com/techradio. Give it a like. Share it with your friends, if you would. We have the blog post that we talked about today on the scamming, and also the Internet of Things security concern is linked there. You can paste your own links there. We would love to hear back from you on what you'd like talked about on the show, not only this show, but coming up. We're happy to research that for you and get it plugged into a spot on the show for November 20th or possibly in December, the 4th or the 18th. But we obviously don't really expect you to keep those dates in mind. We do have a upcoming date, though. South Dakota Focus with Stephanie Rissler is going to talk a little bit about consumer protection and scamming and things like that. That is coming up in November on the 19th of November. That's 8 o'clock Central Time on SDPB-TV. We want to give a shout-out to Stephanie and her program and get folks ready for that as well. So you have some Uber news?
Yeah, so just this week, I believe, City Council passed a law, 7-1, the City Council, Sioux Falls City Council, voted to allow, essentially, I don't know the fine print, but basically to allow Uber, but allow these kind of third party or these new cab services to come in. So Uber, if you've never heard of it, basically you can hail a cab from your phone using an app. So it's a black car or private transportation service where people can be their own drivers. They have to go through, Sioux Falls did say you have to go through a background check. And so then you become a driver, and using the app, wherever I am, I can open it up, see the cars nearby me, hail one, they come to me, you jump in the cab, you tell them where you're going, get dropped off, and you just walk away. So all the payment, all the kind of the back end, the tips, all that stuff is baked into the app. So you have an online profile in the app with your credit card, and it's secure and it's safe. And it's just really, really slick. So I was on another news story to explain that this week, and I realized as you explain it, it kind of sounds just like a taxi. But then I was like, you just have to try it once. Like the first time you Uber, you get out and you're like, you kind of stop and you kind of wait to like reach for your wallet, and the guy's just like, see ya.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
Inside joke on that one. I think the big deal with Uber, I think for the user, it is just like a taxi. And there are lots of taxi companies, not in Sioux Falls that I'm aware of, that you can hail from your phone. I think the important part is anybody can be a driver, and you can do it for 10 minutes a day or 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big component of Uber, is that it turns, instead of, you don't have to have this overhead and have a company and have a fleet of cars. If you just want a part-time job or a full-time job that you do what you want, get this background check in Sioux Falls, and you can drive your own car as a cab. Now, there are bonuses and drawbacks with that, but I think that is why Uber has really taken off in the cities that it's in, is because, any car, any person can do this as a job and actually make money. I think on the back end, that's the real big deal.
One of the things I love the most about using Uber is that it gives you so much time back, where, let's say I have to go to another meeting immediately after this, as opposed to me walking outside and trying to find down and track down a cab. I order on my phone, and immediately as I leave, it's there waiting for me. So I can optimize all of my time being in here with you guys or anywhere. Like, you mm-hmm. basically get so much time back, so you're not outside chasing a car or looking for one. Or
asking for a ride.
And, you know, the app tells you it's this far away. It yep. notifies you when it arrives. Like, great, thanks, Kent. I got to run. My car's here. I mean, it's just so on time.
I mean, I've walked out of an airport and just literally cut in front of 20, 30 people in line waiting for a taxi to jump in an Uber. You almost feel like you're cheating, because
sure.
it's just sitting yeah. there waiting. You jump.
I think
in this
what
nice
will be interesting
car.
Is in a place the size of Sioux Falls, how it'll play. Because if you're in Chicago or Denver or Seattle, there might be 4,000 people, in a 10-mile area that are driving a car. I don't know. I'm picking these numbers out of nowhere.
Yep.
But maybe there's only 4 or 5 or 40 people in Sioux Falls. So and Sioux Falls is very spread out as far as the city goes. So 20 minutes away might be how far your vehicle is away. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
But you're right.
Falls.
You could run your own private business shuttling
Absolutely.
Folks around.
And I totally expect there will be.
Things are slow, you turn on Uber. When things are busy, you turn it off. And I mean, there are articles from Uber drivers who make six figures being an Uber driver.
Doing it full time, yeah.
Yeah.
So when does this happen? Did they vote on it?
They just
okay?
voted that it can now come. Because, okay. Uber has a pretty, Adam can probably speak to this more, but tumultuous kind of, they've just scaled to one of the fastest growing companies ever, like multi-billion dollar valuations. But they are aggressive and they move into these cities like a New York where there's historical societies isn't the right word, but unions mm-hmm. and groups. And so they have to kind of crack down and lots of times some cities don't want them.
Many cities.
So, but Sioux Falls said it can come and voted. It said this is free enterprise, which I certainly agree with that. And so I don't know how I've seen Facebook ads in my feed saying like advertising for, hey, Sioux Falls, we need Uber drivers.
I wonder, and I don't know this. Maybe you guys do. Are there any cases where a city has said, you can come in before Uber says we want to come in to your city? So I don't know. Is this
question.
An early case of that? Because I can see why Sioux Falls wants Uber to come in.
I can say regionally, Fargo and Omaha both have it.
Omaha's
bigger than us. Fargo's smaller. They have all those schools up there, three colleges kind of in the Fargo-Moorhead area.
And then, of course, there's okay. the oil money up in
sure.
Fargo and that. So,
I think we certainly fit as far as like a market size.
Yeah. So I guess we'll keep posted and we'll let people know when we know more about when it might be available.
I have some other questions, and it's usually because when you start getting city councils involved and you get government involved, you have these questions like, are you technically now, is your car a business vehicle?
Sure.
Do you have to have other kinds of insurance? There's personal safety things. Did you see the guy that got choked by the Taco Bell executive last week?
Taco Bell hit an Uber driver, and then Taco Bell fired him because it was on camera, right?
Yeah, the guy had the webcam up and, recorded the entire thing, and the guy was abusive. He had been out to a nightclub and ended up losing his job over the whole deal, but, this is an Uber driver, and they probably aren't, maybe not trained in handling
sure.
Bad things happening like a taxi driver would be. But anyway, maybe they do have some classes or some webinars you'll watch or whatever to be
not
able
sure,
to handle
yeah.
situations. But I mean, there are other legal ramifications
Absolutely.
And questions. But it'll be interesting to see. It's great that Sioux Falls has some forward thinking. Council members like
and
that.
They also always make a big deal whenever whoever the first Uber ride is, like in cities. I think last time it's like celebrities or athletes or so. I'm curious who the first Uber rider of Sioux Falls will be.
That's John T. Meyer, of course.
That's my pitch.
We got a couple of questions we got to get to before the end of the show here. It's coming up
rapid fire.
So how much do these light bulbs cost?
Well, they range in price. You can get smart light bulbs depending on what manufacturer, anywhere from $15, maybe even $10 to $60, depending on what you want and compatibility with all sorts of things. There's a big range, so I recommend going to a place like Best Buy that specializes in them and maybe can walk you through them, certainly doing web research.
They do say you'll get your investment back in the long run because they do. They're supposed
to
last longer.
Yeah, since I put them in, I haven't changed one light bulb. I'm sure I haven't recouped it yet, but I sure like them.
LED light bulbs are coming down in price, but they are still at a premium over the fluorescent or a standard incandescent.
Yep.
You can still get incandescent bulbs.
Sure.
But they are at a premium price, so the connected ones may not be that much more expensive, if at all.
Yeah, and I think the more you pay for something, the better quality that device is. And one thing I have noticed is power consumption in my house has gone down considerably. Now, that would have happened if I just switched over to straight LED lights anyway. But, we can talk at length about that anyway. But, So the answer is $10 to $60 for a standard bulb.
To shut the lights off on this light bulb discussion here, one other comment was, it sounded stupid, but I have no idea what we did before we could dim the lights while rocking a baby or having the front lamp turn on at sunset or so when we get home. So another, I guess, satisfied customer of that. So, finally, a question here. It's actually a laptop question. Toshiba laptop with Windows 10. They're using Gmail, and they can attach a file or two, and after a while, they can't attach any more files. They have to reboot the entire computer to be able to get that system to be able to attach files in Gmail again. That'd be a plugin issue.
Yeah, my guess is that that's actually something to do with the browser, a plugin for the browser, or possibly even like a JavaScript error. You might need to reload something, without more information, it'd be hard to tell. But my recommendation would be to, just go in with a different web browser. So if you're using Internet
Chrome.
Explorer,
use Chrome, and make sure Chrome is up to date.
Firefox, maybe try a couple of different kinds, and then see if you have the same issue. I would bet you don't.
I believe you can send up to 25 megs in Gmail.
But
it doesn't sound like that.
Yeah,
doesn't.
Yeah, it sounds like just being able to attach a file is kind of breaking after a certain period of time. And that's not unusual for like a JavaScript or going back a while, a Flash error. So I just try a different web browser altogether and see if that doesn't fix it.
Yeah. So just to wrap up the show, we've just got a couple of minutes. You've talked about mobile gaming being a big deal and how it was going to kind of explode. And what we saw this week was Blizzard, the folks that bring you World of Warcraft, kind of had a staff meeting, and apparently the CEO said, we're really not connecting, we're really not getting it right with the mobile gamers. What do we need to do? And they went out this week and bought, is it King Digital?
Yep.
The folks that make Candy Crush.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I think I saw a Candy Crush slot machine in Deadwood this last weekend.
Of course.
So they're everywhere. But they went out and just bought the company and said, we don't understand this. You do. We need to get together.
Yeah, I think it's user acquisition. It's getting into that mobile market. It's talent, kind of an acqui-hire in some ways. And I also heard from a financial perspective, King Digital is based out of Ireland, I believe. And so I guess Blizzard had a lot of funds overseas that if they were to bring that money back into America, it was going to get taxed. And so by using that money to buy a foreign company out of Ireland, they were able to save a ton of money in taxes.
But they say mobile games are going to account for about a $40 billion industry in the next 3 years. So they wanted to obviously get into that. And 65% of the mobile gamers are female, which is more than double
different than Blizzard.
Than a console game like a typical World of Warcraft user. So,
oh yeah, when I sit on an airplane like waiting to take off, everyone around me seems like they're playing Candy Crush or something on their phone. Yeah.
And the music tells us we are out of time today. Adam, thank you so much for participating. It was great having you here.
Thanks
and good luck
guys.
With Startup Weekend. I hope you get that spark or somebody gets that spark this weekend and takes off at least one successful company. That would be fantastic to follow that story. John, please stay on top
we'll
of that
report back.
Us.
Yep.
John T. Meyer from Lemonly, so much. Thank you so much for being here today. And, of course, Joel Brovelite, thank you as always for spending your time with us here Friday. It's going to be a great weekend, everybody. It's unfortunately the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my panelists again and remind you SDPB is there for you on our app or at sdpb.org. Go there and click on listen. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great weekend. I want to thank our board operators today. Chris Lofford is your board op, and Carmen Susan was the phone producer. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, everybody.